You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Danny Wexelman with Astros reporter Brian McTaggart for MLB.com. And Tags, before we talk baseball, we have to talk Thanksgiving. I want to know, what did you eat? How was it? How many times did you get up for seconds and thirds and fourths?
Well, it was good. I went up to my in-laws. Outside College Station. They live sort of a rural area, to say the least. So we kind of stuck in there for a while. But, ate some turkey. And yeah. I went to seconds right away. I was like, I'm not wasting time. I'm not letting it get cold. I went right for it. And then told myself I'd never eat again. But I think I was smacking a few hours later. So yeah. Typical Thanksgiving.
That sounds perfect. I love it. The Astros are pretty quiet, I would say, from the last time we talked. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's been really quiet. I mean, they really haven't done anything. I mean, at this point last year, they had already signed Josh Reddick. They had already traded for Brian McCann. They had already signed Charlie Morton. They were just a couple of days away from signing Beltran. So, you know, a year ago, they were pretty much putting the finishing touches on their offseason heavy lifting. But they don't have as much to do this offseason, and they haven't done really anything, which, of course, you know, nothing's really happened with anybody around the league.
Yeah. Yes. So George Springer was in our office on Wednesday, and he did a little bit of a car wash here out in New York. And it was really cool to listen to him kind of reflect on some of his favorite home runs from the World Series, moments that mattered for him, and also kind of just learn a little bit about him. And I'm wondering, Brian, if you knew that George Springer could do gymnastics.
Oh, yeah, I did know that. His mother was a competitive gymnast in her earlier days. And, yeah, he comes from a really, really athletic family. I mean, his dad played in the Little League World Series.
Yeah.
He used to be able to do backflips. I'm not sure if he can still do them or not. I need to ask him.
Yeah, we might need some video proof of that. I actually had a chance to meet his parents at the Little League World Series 2 years ago. They were getting the award for Little League Parents of the Year. So we met his parents, met his sisters, and it blew my mind that the entire family is literally just an athletic monster. It was incredible.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, his sister plays softball at Ohio State. And, you know, George did gymnastics coming up and I think did pretty much every sport except football. I don't think his father would let him play football. But they're an amazing family and, you know, super nice parents. And, you know, I try to get out in the stands and talk to them any chance I get. And I know they're super invested in what George is doing and their family as a whole. I mean, they're really, really great people and, you know, nice parents for the World Series MVP.
Yeah, not too shabby, I'd say. All right, Brian, the Astros are getting paid. I had to read this number twice because I wasn't sure what number I was reading exactly. So let me make sure I got this right, that Major League Baseball announced the Astros are going to receive $30 million, is that right?
Yep.
$30 million. That's the share of the players' pool for winning the World Series. Each full share valued at a record $438,901.57, to be exact.
Yeah, pretty amazing. I mean, that's I kept reading and waiting to see if beat writers got any kind of share in that. Unfortunately, my phone hasn't rang yet.
I was going to ask you, Brian.
No, that's amazing money. I mean, for some of the guys that are making close to the minimum, like a Brad Peacock, you know, he's almost doubling his salary now for the season. So, for guys like that, that's, you know, it's a pretty substantial amount of money. A guy like Justin Verlander, you know, he told us already he's going to donate that to charity.
Right.
So, you know, no skin off his teeth there, but it's going to a good cause. But yeah, an absolute record amount, and they handed out 60 shares, so 60 people in the organization are getting that full amount.
Oh, my gosh.
438, and then some other people are getting some money as well. So Astros are pretty generous with that bonus.
Is that what we see, that the teams are giving out that amount of shares to, obviously, to the team and then to people who deserve it? Is that how it works?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't come out who gets it, but I mean, I anticipate probably any player who contributed at any point in the season gets some. I mean, you're looking at, you know, 35 to 40 players off the bat, the coaching staff, the training staff, the strength and conditioning staff. That's another 15 to 20. And then, you know, maybe the grounds crew gets a share here and there. I don't know if, you know, the GM or those guys get any. But, you know, generally teams try to take care of a little of everybody. I mean, for the players, it's big. But when you're a strength and conditioning coach, yeah, and you get a full share, or you're on the grounds crew and they give you a cash award no matter what it is, I mean, that's a pretty life-changing amount of money. And everyone contributes when you win the World Series. I mean, it's not just the players, it's the whole organization. So I think the players try to reward everybody they can.
Yeah, that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to Brad Peacock. You just wrote about him, did a great story. Man, he did damage during the World Series, pitched 7 1/3, had a 2.45 ERA, and gave up just 4 hits and 2 earned runs. Where can we expect to see him slotted for the season? And, you know, how much does spring training impact that position that he's in?
Well, yeah, I mean, they can go either way with Brad. I mean, he's pitched well enough as a starter, pitched well enough in relief, and really proved it in the playoffs as well, that I think he goes into spring training. I think they'll go into spring training looking at him as a starter. I mean, look at last year. The Astros needed, 10, 11 starters. I mean, they had 5 starting pitchers on the DL at one point. So they're going to need more than 5 starters. And, you know, Brad Peacock, I think right now you would, you know, you look at the rotation, Verlander, Keuchel, McCullers, Morton, all locks, Colin McHugh, if he's healthy, he's probably in there. And then you have Peacock, and, you know, maybe he takes that 5th rotation spot. But the way he pitched in relief, he could be such a weapon in that bullpen if he's able to pitch 3-4 times a week instead of, one or 2 times a week. So I think it'll just depend on the health of everyone else in the rotation and how they're pitching. But I don't think there's any question he's going to be a big weapon for them and pitch some meaningful innings, whether in relief or as a starter.
Were you surprised at how well he did in the World Series? Or obviously you're covering him every day. So from your perspective, is that what you expected to see? Or were you kind of like, man, this guy really showed up?
Well, he was the big surprise of the whole season. I mean, Charlie Morton was as well, but Peacock was a guy who had been here for the previous 3 or 4 years, I guess the previous 3 years, and he'd been up and down, AAA, majors, hurt a lot, rotation, bullpen, just like, wow, he's just, you know, is he going to get it together? You know, he came to spring training, he was out of options, and I really thought that he wouldn't make it through spring training. I didn't think he would pitch well enough to make the team, and I thought they would have to put him on waivers, somebody would take him. I thought our Brad Peacock days were over, but, you know, the injury to Colin McHugh at the end of the spring sort of opened up a spot. He took it, pitched well, pitched better, moved to in relief, moved to the rotation, kept pitching well, and all of a sudden became this force. And just in the nick of time for his career, I mean, he was talking about going and playing overseas, and now here he is. He's on the, getting that World Series bonus, getting a ring, and he's going to be a big part of their plans going forward.
Yeah, he's aging well right now, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the 40-man roster. Rosters had to be announced, and the Astros added 2 guys, CNL Perez and Dean Dietz, to protect them from the Rule 5 draft. So we've got a left-hander and a right-hander there, pitchers. Why should Astros fans be excited about these 2 guys?
Well, Perez is pretty intriguing name. I mean, he's the left-hander. He's a 20-year-old Cuban defector. Who they signed last year. The signing got a little messy because they tried to sign him and it fell through over health concerns. And then that was in September, and then they came back and signed him again in December for $2 million. And he pitched pretty well, too, when he got his career going. So he's going to be at Major League camp. A lot of eyes on him. I mean, he hasn't pitched professionally before, you know, this year until he pitched in Cuba in 2014. So he's still a young arm, still a lot of mileage on that arm, and I'm kind of anxious to see him up close. Dietz is the right-hander. They drafted him in 2014, 11th round, sort of unheralded guy out of Northeast Oklahoma A&M College. And he was in AAA last year. I mean, he bounced between 2 levels, but he was really good at Corpus Christi, where he spent, just a brief cup of coffee. He got knocked around a little bit in Fresno, but he's a starter who they have strikeout stuff. They really like his stuff, and they're pretty deep right now in starting pitching. But when you talk about those next wave of starters that are coming up, I think you're going to look at Dean Dietz and, of course, Forrest Whitley, the number one pitching prospect.
Yeah.
Those are going to be the guys that come up when some of these older veteran guys choose to move on, whenever that is, in the next few years.
I love it. All right, last, Brian, we're going to spotlight Carlos Correa. He's bringing a little holiday cheer, some early an extra holiday cheer to Puerto Rico. Can you highlight the event that he held down there? It sounded like an incredible time. Thousands of kids got a chance to come out. And just what kind of person Carlos Correa is?
Well, he's amazing. I mean, he is so charitable, and the stuff that he does. And he's not alone. I mean, Lance McCullers, who's also 23, like Correa, has a foundation. I don't know about you, but I did not have a foundation at 23 years old.
Nobody did.
But the stuff they do is amazing. Yeah, Correa last Saturday on the 25th went down to Puerto Rico for the first time since the hurricane with his fiancée, Daniela Rodriguez. And they pretty much had an all-day party for kids. They invited, I think, 1,000 kids. They had food for up to 5,000 people. They gave away all kinds of stuff. There were balloons and games and clowns and stuff like that. And that was all for Correa, just to try to help bring smiles on faces of people in his hometown. And we all know that Correa and Carlos Beltran did a lot towards the end of the season, of course, donating money and items to be sent on a plane over to Puerto Rico for hurricane relief. So it's not a surprise. And Correa, like a week after winning the World Series, was at a hospital in Houston. We talked about that before. And these guys are making the rounds. Alex Bregman a couple of days ago was surprising some kids and making their Christmas brighter. So the Astros are everywhere. I mean, George Springer is up in New York and in our studios, but when they're in Houston, they're really giving back to the community, and the Astros really have to be proud of what these guys are doing. After playing an extra month in the season, they're still giving back to the community in a big way.
I love it. I feel like they're such a great example for future generations coming up and kids who are fans of the game. When kids see this happening, I think in turn they want to do that, and it's just such a really nice thing to see. So I feel like everyone must be so proud of what they're doing, you know, accomplishing on the field, but as well off the field. It's really, really impressive to see from these guys, Brian.
Yeah, there is, and I think there's going to be more coming, as we get closer to the end of the year and the holidays ramp up. And I know that there's an event coming up. Can't say too much about it that Correa will be involved in, so stay tuned on Astros.com in the next few days. It's going to be a really cool event, but can't quite talk about it yet. But he's going to be out there again brightening some young lives, so look for that at Astros.com in the next few days.
All right, very cool, Brian. Well, thank you for your time. I guess we have about a week and a half until winter meetings, and the madness could really get going then. But I hope that you have a little more quiet time before things pick up. I know you've had a busy season, so you deserve it.
Yeah, the winter meetings got here really fast. It's usually like my halfway point for the off season, but now it's like it happened like only a couple of weeks after the season. But hey, I'll take it. It was a fun October.
There we go. They're knocking on your door. All right, Brian McTaggart. He's going to keep covering the Astros for MLB.com. I'm Danny Wexelman. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll catch you next time.